This one's going to be a tea ramble. My name is Sandieshka and I'm at home at the moment. And if you hear some noise in the background, it's raining actually. So there's going to be background noise. There's going to be maybe rambles in my, or gravel in my voice, because I'm still having a cold, which is also the reason why this podcast is actually a week late. So there you have it. This week or this month, I'm going to talk about my things or my insights that I found this year in this area of expertise, in this topic about cities and stuff like that. And I'm going to talk about my recent travels. I'm going to talk about the conferences that I've been to and what my insights were there and how it's going to take us forward into the next decade, actually. And yeah, so I'm a bit early with the review of this year, but this is mainly because next month I'm going to do a recap of this decade, so I'm a bit early. And I hope you bear with me. And so I've been to several conferences, as I've said before, and the biggest one and certainly the most international one was the International Transport Forum in May in Leipzig. Leipzig, by the way, is my hometown, so it's always special to get back there. And I will go to the International Transport Forum next year too, because I found it's really interesting to listen to all those different people, to all those different transportation mode facilitators, how they operate and what challenges they see. And it's actually really interesting in regard to climate change, because what I learned there is that everyone, or almost everyone, knows things have to change in transportation. This does include the air travel, and because several aviation people were there and they talked about what's going to change and what they're actually doing in regard to travel, air travel, and the pollution of the air and the CO2 emissions. And they are aware of that and they are working toward solutions. However, they do also see the challenges and they do need other industries to help them with those changes. So I'm not opposed to all air travel, even though I think it's definitely not necessary to fly from Frankfurt to Stuttgart, Frankfurt Main, I mean, and which seems to be connecting flight, which Lufthansa still does, which I found very weird. But that's another topic. So the transportation forum, or the transport forum in Leipzig, was really interesting also in regard to how fast other countries are building their infrastructure, how fast they are actually developing their projects and what their next steps are. For instance, since we're in Germany, and most of you will have heard of the Berlin Airport, which still isn't ready and was supposed to open for business several years ago and still is not finished and still needs more money. On the other hand, there's Incheon Airport, Korea, in Korea, and they manage somehow to be inside their cost estimation and inside of their time that they were looking into to build this. So they also didn't have public funding for the last two legs or something like this. So they did it with private funding mainly, which is maybe also a reason why they were on time and didn't run over the costs. And in Berlin, there's obviously, it's paid for by the government and therefore all the people who pay taxes, and they didn't finish it on time for safety reasons. On the other hand, I'm saying also, I don't want to manage a project of this size, because there are sure as hell really, really big issues that you have to overcome and so many moving parts, so that's not easy to do. And another thing that people at the Transport Forum were saying and were aware of is the importance of train traffic. And we finally see more investments in Germany back into the train system. The infrastructure has been woefully neglected, which is a real problem, because now they don't have enough tracks, they don't have enough personnel, they don't have enough building personnel. So now that they finally get the money, they don't have the necessary engineers, it seems, to actually build those necessary new tracks and replace the old ones. And because of that, they also have issues with places where they are building, so that the trains don't come on time, which is also kind of a running gag. If you use the public train system in Germany, we don't have, the trains aren't on time most of the time, or at a lot of the time. And the funny thing is that if you use the Navigator app of the train provider Deutsche Bahn, you can see sometimes that they are considered on time, which is also, they can be 2 minutes or up to 5 minutes late, still considered on time. And then you see that the following stations where you are supposed to be are running late, and you know there's ahead of time, which I considered quite funny that they already know that they will not make it. And on the other hand, there are international train companies like the ones in Japan who have trains that run on time, even if they're building major tracks and stuff like this, and they are still on time. So this is going to be interesting when next year I'm going to Japan to actually find out how the heck they are doing this, because being late is not really acceptable. So considering trains, there's also a change. I'm now in an advisory council in our state, in our federal state, and I learned quite a lot there. And they changed the service provider, or two service providers, this year regarding trains. And those new service providers had real trouble to make their new trains run on time, which was also due to trains not being delivered, and so they had to get other trains that their personnel wasn't trained on to, or didn't have the necessary qualifications to use those trains. So they had to really instruct them in quite a short amount of time, so this led to further problems. And it was really interesting, due to this advisory council, to know what is happening in the back end and why they are late and why they do have problems with the trains when they arrived. And you normally think, why didn't they prepare for this? Why is this such a problem? We should be much better these days. But the thing is, they did prepare the switch of the provider for 3 years, and they still couldn't make it because the system is so full, the train system, and because there are so many interfaces and so many things to look at, that this is definitely not an easy thing. And if you have a small change in one node of the system, it ripples out and you have real trouble in completely different places, which you might not even have thought are connected to this place or this part of the system. So being on the advisory council, I think, is really fortunate for me, because this way I can get even more knowledge about how this system works, which really feeds back to my own work and to better incorporate this and into the planning. So I'm really lucky to be in this advisory council. And being in this advisory council led to me having the chance to interview our transportation minister, Herr Hermann, which was, I think, 4 months or 5 episodes back. you can listen to it on this little interview. It was really, really nice. And I was really shocked in a positive way because he really knows his stuff. It's really amazing because when the old advisory council and the new one get together, they had the chance to ask him questions, and they came with questions like, the bridge on this special train track has problems, and so what are you going to do? And I was completely flabbergasted because I didn't know the track, but he knew exactly what they were talking about, and he knew what's going to happen there. So I'm really in awe of our minister because he knows his stuff, contrary to other ministers, which I met this year, and where I think they are boasting a lot, but they don't have the knowledge to supplement it, and they don't know what they're talking about. And on the other hand, it's huge systems, and it's hard to really get into those to know the nitty-gritty of it. But Herman does, and so this is really, really nice. And so I'm looking forward to the developments in our state because I think they are on a good way, and there still are problems they have to solve, and it's not going to go smoothly, but that's not to be expected when you have systems like this and they are this huge and this interconnected. So there you have it. And on the other hand, there's a lot of movement politically this year, and I was quite involved, you could say, in the elections this year, the European elections and the ones in our towns. And I was quite surprised what happened. And I was positively surprised what happened when they elected the new town councils in our state. Because people voted for change. People voted for a sustainable change. And they don't want more parking spaces for cars in the city, which a certain political party wanted in Karlsruhe. The people said no. They said, we want green mobility. We want a council that's looking into much more sustainable solutions in every regard. And so we have a new town council, and a much greener one, and a much more social one, if you ask me. Because this was not only happening in Karlsruhe, but it happened in all big cities in our federal state. So I think we're on a good way, and I hope that this is going forward in the right direction. And it's certainly moving. And I've been to transportation, well, not conference, but it was an evening event 1 week ago, and a local evening event, and was about transportation in the city and how to improve it and how to make it more sustainable. They had different ideas to change this and to make it much more bike friendly in the city, to improve the public transport, which is on a really high level in Leipzig. It's also on a really high level, but in Karlsruhe it's really amazing. Nevertheless, there are things that could be improved. And they had also some ideas where I'm not sure that they are that good or that improving. Yeah, those ideas revolved around the airport in Baden. Baden-Baden, and well, I have my concerns regarding those ideas, but I'm totally on board with getting more bike routes and improving those parts. Anyway, so they did have some very valid ideas concerning bike infrastructure, and that we need parking spaces for cars in the city, where I think they are right, or in the future, there should be less parking spaces for cars in the city. I think this needs time, and you need to make it offers to the people to use other modes of transport. You can't just, you know, throw out some things and not replace them with viable options. the funny thing was to me, because I usually talk to people with the city government and in the right parts of the city, I already knew that some things that they thought were necessary were actually in planning stages. And I think with the new city government, with the new city council, those ideas and those plans can actually be made reality. And I think because what I found is that city developers, they think in much longer time spans, much longer time frames, not just till next year, but they think for the next 20 years, 20 or 40 years. Because if you buy or if you build a house, this will be there not only till 10 years ahead, but in Germany and in Europe, it can stand even 300 years, 400 years. So you need to really plan the cities. So they are thinking really ahead and they know that they will change some stuff. But for that, they need the city council to vote on it. And if you have a city council that isn't into sustainability and who thinks only in cases of the big industry, then you won't make those changes. But they have, in Karlsruhe at least, they have those plans in their desk, and I think they can now take it out and move forward with the planning and even building of the new ideas and improve Karlsruhe and improve the life for the many inhabitants. Because if you plan for the city, you need to not only think for one mode of transport, for instance. You don't get to think only for the car users. You also have to take into account, what does this mean for the other modes of transport? What does this mean for people? And what I found in the last months and also over the years, it's always said, yeah, we need more space for cars or more space for bikes. No, we need more space for people. Why do we always plan for the objects and not the subjects? Why do we not plan for people? I mean, yes, we need to have bike racks where the people want to go, but the bikes don't drive themselves. The cars might drive themselves in the future, and you need to plan for that. And when you have autonomous vehicles, and I don't think they are the be-all, safe-all, end-all, you need to plan ahead for these instances. And I think they, at least in Karlsruhe, from what I see, they are thinking about this. They are currently looking into the active modes of transport, which means using your bicycle or your feet, or if you are in a wheelchair, they're thinking about your tube, and they're looking into new concepts and making new plans. And this takes time. You need to really think ahead, what will happen with this road in the next 10 years when we get autonomous vehicles. Will we need still so much parking space, or will they just travel around? And if they just travel around, where do we put them when in the evening when we don't need them? And do we need still the same amount of cars? And I don't think we will, but for this we still need the other modes of transport. And I think sometimes when you look into the normal press, when you look into or watch the news, when you listen to certain ministers speak, you get the idea that transport or mobility is just for a few people, which is wrong, which is just wrong. You need to think for the whole community. And what in the International Transport Forum was said, and what were things that really got me to think about the future, is yes, the transportation system in Germany or the Western states like Western Europe, UK and Canada and US are saturated. Yes, there isn't everywhere public transport there, but mainly we have a really, really high standard of living. The thing is, Asia and also Africa and South America are catching up. However, if they all go out to get and buy cars as we did over the last 60 years, we will have a real problem globally. And this needs to be addressed. And I actually see things happening that makes me hope that they use smarter modes of transport, that they are working towards smarter solutions than we did, and that they don't make the same mistakes that then Europeans did in regard to their transportation systems. I see this also happening in certain states in the US. California is one state where they actually are investing heavily into infrastructure for light rails, for metro systems, for other modes of transport than the car. And I hope that they will do so in the future too. And I think, Asia is making a good way ahead to really useful public transportation systems. And I mean, they have certain public transportation systems which are light years, I think, ahead of European systems, like in Japan, like in Hong Kong, like Taiwan, and certain other areas in China. And I think they are certainly thinking in the right direction and working towards it. There is still some way to go. And then there's another thing that I find really fascinating. And if you like history, you might have heard of the Silk Roads. And the Silk Roads was used to bring from Asia, and in this case China, silk and certain spices to Europe. And there's a new Silk Road, which is mainly funded by China at the moment. And there are also other Asian states that are actually investing in this. But it's called the Belt and Road Initiative by China. And it's a train and a street connection to Europe from Asia and from China. And the really weird thing is that Europe is thinking this is not a good idea, or mainly it seems that way, and that China is just funding it for nefarious reasons. But I think it's actually a good idea, because it will connect even the landlocked nations in Asia and between Europe and Asia, because for those nations it's necessary that they have logistic hubs and that they get to take part in those developments. So for them it's a chance, because even if you have a train track which runs from Beijing to Berlin, you still need to fuel this train, you still need to have a look at it, even if it's some time where it's running autonomous, and you still need stations in between, you still need to look at the things that are transported. And so for them it's a chance to actually take part on this international stage and to develop their countries. And I think it's not all probably, you know, the best ideas. However, I think when you look into the history of Europe and how we treated Asia and how we mistreated them, actually, and how we used their resources, we then left them with the problems, I think it's only correct to, you know, help with the Belt and Road Initiative and use it and be a part of it and therefore influence it to be beneficial for all the people and states which are part of it and where the Belt and Road will go through, and not just say, ooh, bad China, ooh, they are doing something bad. And I mean, they do have their interests, but it's not as if Europe has the best interests in all the world. It's always a thing of perspective. And yes, we learned from our faults in the history, mostly. If you look in certain places in Germany, I think we didn't learn it. Or certain people there didn't learn it from the mistakes of the history. But I think, yeah, to actually make it work for everyone, to make it beneficial, we need to not say, ooh, it's bad, but we need to say, this is maybe a better way to do it, or let's help with this regard and maybe not use, I don't know, this kind of way, because there is, you know, because there might be something environmental issues on this part, so let's go around there and use another part or something like this, and let's help with the technology. And I mean, I think we as Europeans tend to have rose-colored rose-colored glasses on concerning certain nations. And when it comes to other nations, we are, well, let's call it skeptical for some reasons. And I think it's always a matter of in the gray area. I think when you look at press these days and the discussions at social media or also at these conferences, there's in a lot of cases you have this thing where they are not putting things in perspective, where they are really adamant about their point of view and are polarizing. And I think this is sign of the times, and I think it's not to our best interest. I think you always have a different point of view if you're from, I don't know, Mongolia, or if you are from Russia, or from Iran, from Persia, or somewhere, or even, let's say, from Uganda or something like that. You always have your point of view, your perspective of things is always different, and you need to see and take this into account. And I have a lot of the times these days, I think we lose the perspective and we don't take into account the perspectives and the necessities of people in different countries, in different regions. And I see this especially when you look at climate change, because it's the nations that are the richest which have the highest amount of impact and on the changes, and to not put out so many CO2 and stuff like this, and not to pollute the environment. And the effects of it will have the first impact on nations that are not that rich and not that prepared for this amount of change that will happen. And I think what makes me a bit sad and maybe even really mad is how those politicians who are still in power are just saying it doesn't matter, and then even come with religion as if science is a bad thing, and they ignore the science and to the detriment of those people who can't change it, who can't know it, who don't actually know any better, or don't have the options to change their behavior. And we in the Western world, we do have the options in a lot of cases, not in all. I mean, I can, when I go to Japan next year, I won't take a sailboat, I will fly. However, I don't own a car because where I live is so central and we do have such a good public transport system. I don't need a car. I have access to a car, but I didn't use our car sharing services here for at least 2 or 3 years now because it's not necessary for me. And I'm lucky enough to live in this area and to have access. But I know, for instance, if you live in a small village, even in our federal state, you might not have the luxury of public transport and switching the modes. but you will need a car. And because you live in this village, and let's say you have to drive to get to your job more than 50 kilometers or something like this, currently you still need a car that runs on fossil fuel. So because you might not have the necessary money to buy yourself an electrical vehicle, and you might not have the money to build a wall box at your home, or you might not even have a home where this is possible because you're renting and you're in this area you have not the kind of necessary net for energy. So you can't do this at this place, you don't have the money. So there aren't other options. However, I have the chance, and so I make this choice. So it's always circumstantial, and you have to take everything in account. And I think this is one of the most important things that I learned this year, and that I think is necessary for all of us to remember. Your point of view and your options are highly impacted by your circumstances. And you have choices, but there might be choices which are not always sustainable and not always best choice possible for climate change or to combat climate change. And I think it's high time that people stop saying that certain people should make a difference and can't talk about sustainability or how other people should make their choices regarding climate change if those people don't have the options or didn't make the choice or did need to buy a certain car because they could only afford this or because they made this choice. They still have valid points. I think this is important to think about. So I think I got completely off tangent. Yeah, these are my thoughts. Well, I told you it's going to be a ramble. Yeah, so I think closing remarks are in order. I think for all of us, it's necessary in a lot of cases to take a step back and look at the bigger picture. It always takes in account of the circumstances of certain people that you meet and that have a different point of view than yours and have a different opinion. Their opinions might be valid, most of them are, under their circumstances. And this doesn't mean that they're always right, but I think we all need to look at systems and transportation systems and all these issues from different perspectives and work together to get solutions which are solutions for the general public and which work also for individuals and don't put individuals in danger or anything like this. And yeah, so this is what I learned this year. And I think at least in Baden-Württemberg, we are lucky to have pretty good ministers and pretty good people in the planning office public domain. And I hope that the world in general and Germany and all those others can find a way forward which is beneficial for the future generations, and that we get our act together concerning climate change and our own lifestyle. Yeah, so this is it for today. I wish you a nice November. Get out in the day to combat the November feels. I don't know if you are in the same situation. I personally hate November because it's always it's the darkest month. Weather is horrible. And the Christmas fairy lights aren't on in most of the parts. And so I'm waiting for the next winter solstice for more light and hopefully cozy Christmas. Okay, so yeah, this was European Urbanism. Next month you get another ramble about the last decade, what changed in cities and Europe and Western world. And there might be episodes about Asia coming up. because I'm preparing to go to Japan, so there might be something like that in the future. Music, as always, Erwin Schmidt. And idea, rambling, tea, and so on, is by me, Sandy Eschke. And I wish you a pleasant November. Here soon.